Let's turn to the Word of God and see what we can learn from this story of Caleb for our lives, for our sister as she leaves for India, for each of us as we face the different challenges that the Lord brings our way in these days and weeks and months ahead. Let's turn to God in prayer. Father, we do thank you that the things that were written a long time ago in your word were written for our learning, that by the steadfastness and encouragement that we get from the scriptures, we might have hope. As we study the story of Caleb this morning, these events that were written down and that happened so many years ago, would you by your Spirit take the truths of this passage and apply them to our hearts in a way that would be truly life-changing? We look to you to do this, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible is full of the stories of individuals. It's very easy when we look at the sort of huge population statistics in the world, or when we just look at the world around us and we begin to look at the stars and the sun and the moon and we think of the vastness of the universe in which we live, to feel that we're insignificant. But the Bible is the story of God's preoccupation with individuals. And God is concerned for you and me, just as deeply as he was concerned for Caleb. Our story, your story, my story, is as important to God. And we need to remember that as we come to study the story of Caleb this morning. A man who was faithful to God into old age. In the passage that we read in Joshua chapter 14, which is what we'll be looking at together, Caleb recalls the past. He comes to Joshua, you remember, at the time when they were apportioning out the land, and he reminds Joshua of their adventure 45 years before, when they entered the promised land to spy it out. And in the sovereignty of God, the part that Caleb spied out was the area around Hebron. And when he came back and he brought his report, God promised him that the very land on which he had walked would be given to him. So we see Caleb coming to Joshua at the age of 85 and recalling the past. Old people like to do that. Some of you here this morning don't have very much past to recall. Some of us have quite a bit. Keith and Eleanor have more than most of us. It's not a bad thing, especially as we get older, to recall the past, to think back on what God has done. I was at a conference recently, and one of the things we were asked to do in one of the sessions was to write down on a piece of paper what we, as we look back over our lives, what we felt were the defining moments. What things, events had happened to us that helped to shape us, to make us who we are. Most of us who are older can do such things. We can look back over our lives and we can identify certain points, certain things that happened to us, certain choices we made or decisions or events in our lives that have helped to shape us, to make us who we are. Caleb is doing that here. He's recalling that event in his life for which he's been remembered for the last 3,000 years. That event that shaped him. How long do you think it took them to spy out the land? Maybe a couple of weeks? And then the events as they came back and they shared, and 10 of the spies discouraged the people, and Caleb and Joshua stood firm and God gave him this promise. It was probably only a 2 or 3 week period, but it defined Caleb. It helped to shape who he was. And Caleb looks back on that. Now, for many of you here this morning, you have the excitement of realizing that those defining events in your life are still ahead of you. Prepare for them well. Caleb didn't just become a man of faith suddenly when he went on that expedition. As you read the story of Caleb's report when he came back, two things stand out. One is that he really believed that God was with them. And the second is that he really believed that God was going to do what he promised in giving them the land. Caleb was a man of faith. And faith is one of those things that grows with exercise. The key for you who are young people here, as you prepare for the defining events of your lives that wait for you out there, is to be growing in faith so that when those events come, you're ready to act in faith because you know that God is with you and you know that He'll keep His promises to you. And that will shape your life as it shaped Caleb's life. The first thing I notice in this passage, as Caleb recalls the past, look at Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. The men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to Joshua, "You know what the Lord said." The first thing as he looks back, as Caleb looks back on his past, as he looks back on this event, he remembers what God said to him. What God said to Moses and through Moses to Caleb. And that's the first thing. He remembers what God had said to him. I can remember in my own life as I look back, as I was reflecting in preparing this message and thinking back, I remember the things that God has said to me from His Word at key points in my life. Promises He gave me. Words of encouragement and exhortation. Things that spoke to me, that have marked and shaped me. Do you have any promises from God's Word? Things that God has spoken to you about that you're holding on to? If I was to have a chance to speak to each one of you this morning and say, what has God said to you of late? What have you, as you've been reading the scriptures, what has stood out to you as something that God is saying to you? What would you say? Would you be there sort of... Or would you be able to say, yeah, you know, just last month as I was reading in Psalms, this verse stood out to me, and I've underlined it in my Bible and put the date by it, so I wouldn't forget what God said to me at that time. As we look back on our past, we want to be able to look back on what God has said to us. But as we move into the future, we want to be making sure that we're taking time with God, allowing Him the chance to speak to us so that we receive those promises from Him. Those words of encouragement that keep us going, that determine the direction and focus of our lives. Another thing I noticed as I studied this passage and as I thought about Caleb recalling his past was this. In verse 10, after he's recalled all that happened, he then goes on, verse 10, and says, "Now then, just as the Lord promised," he says, "He has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old." God is not in a great hurry. I think that seems to be a lesson from that, doesn't it? God gives us promises. He gives us things that we're believing Him for, that we're trusting Him for, that we're asking Him to do for us. And He encourages us to hold on to them, to believe Him. But God is not always in a hurry. One of the great old Puritan writers, referring to the outworking of God's purposes like millstones, he says, the wheels of God grind slowly, but they grind fine. God's purposes work out slowly, but they work out inexorably and certainly. And God always does what He promises. But I think one of the striking things about Caleb, as we think about those 45 years between when he was given the promise and when he entered into it, was the fact that he had to wait that time because of the sin of other people. Caleb had the faith to enter the promised land at the time he first went in to spy it out. But it was the other 10 who came back, who prevented him and Joshua and the others going in. How easy it would have been for Joshua to spend the next 45 years in bitterness and resentment. He could have spent the whole time wandering around the wilderness thinking, and I could have been in Canaan now. I could have been in Hezron. What am I doing here? Those wretched spies. Let me see what horrible thing I can do to get back at them and their families. He could have been, by the age of 85, a bitter, twisted, angry, resentful old man. You will find, perhaps you have already found, as you live out your life, that some of the defining experiences that shape you are the wrong things that other people do to you. The things that happen to you because of the faults and failings of others. Because of their neglect. Because of their outright sin. Because of their unkindness. Caleb knew all about that. Are you going to allow such things to turn you into a bitter, resentful, angry person? You know, bitterness does not damage the lives of the people we're angry with. It damages our own lives and the lives of those we love and care about. May God help us to be like Caleb and not to allow bitterness or resentment to be part of our past. May God help us to be men and women who continue to focus on the promises of God, who wait for Him in faith and look forward to the outworking of what He's promised to do in and through and for us, so that that is what shapes our lives. Old people love to recall the past. Caleb recalls the past, but Caleb does not live in the past. Look at what happens here in verses 10 to 12. Three times the Hebrew word for now is used. Now then, verse 10, just as the Lord promised. And then at the end of verse 10, so here I am today, now, here. And in verse 12, now, give me this hill country. Caleb is a man with much to thank God for and think about and struggle over in his past. And he's a man in touch with his past, but he's not living in the past. He's living in the present. Those of us who are older here, we have things to thank God for. We have things to look back on. But by God's grace, let us always be people who live in the present. Now, he says in this very famous verse 12, now give me this hill country. In the old authorized version, the King James version, give me this mountain. Hebron was the rockiest part of that area they were entering into, the highland, the mountains. It was where the descendants of Anak lived, the giants. It was where the cities were strongest and most fortified. And Caleb says, give me, now, he says, now, Joshua, give me this mountain. Is that the spirit with which we have this morning as we go into this week? Are we living in the past or are we living in the present? Now, Lord, what do you have for me this week? Let me take this week's mountain for you. Is there some mountain that you're planning to capture for God in this next week, in this next month, this year? What adventure of faith are you setting out on this week with the Lord? Not that Caleb was planning to do it in his own strength. Now, he says, give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and that their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said. With the Lord helping me and the promises of God, what mountain are we going to take for the Lord? Perhaps as we prayed this morning, as we sung that chorus, Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to be a vessel you work through. Perhaps the Lord was bringing to your mind some area of your life that isn't like him. Some block in the pipe, as it were, that would stop you being a vessel for him. And that's your mountain of the moment. You need, with the Lord's help and with his tremendous promises as you study them and you claim them, you need to see God give you a mountain in your own life. Some area of compromise or sin that you're struggling with, that you've become defeated over, and you need to have faith to move forward, to be a Caleb, to take that mountain for God and master it and see it broken down and defeated. Or perhaps it's some friend or some person that you've been praying for that you want to see won for Christ. That's your mountain. That you're going to believe God for and you're going to say, Lord, give me this mountain. It looks like a mountain. I can't see this person ever turning to you in repentance and faith. But Lord, I'm looking to you. I'm claiming your promises. I'm going to, with your help, persevere in sharing and praying until I see this person come to Christ. Or perhaps it's some exploit, some adventure that God wants you to go on for him. Something he wants you to attempt for him. That's your mountain. Caleb remembered the past, but Caleb lived in the present. And lastly and very briefly, Caleb impacted the future. Joshua blessed Caleb, verse 13, the son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as an inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since. At the time that this was written, the writer could look back and see that Caleb's faith had impacted the future. In fact, the chapter ends with this statement, the land had rest from war. Caleb impacted the future. A friend of mine told me one day he was reading the Bible and he came across a verse, it's in actually in 2 Kings 19, I think, verse 34, where the Jerusalem was being surrounded by the enemies of God's people, and God said he was going to deliver them, and it says, "For my servant David's sake." And my friend, as he was reading this, was fascinated by this, and he worked out that it was 400 years since David had died. And yet God was still saying to people, "For my servant David's sake," 400 years after he died. Men and women of faith, men and women like Caleb, impact the future. God goes on doing things for them and because of them, and in answer to their prayers, years and years and years and years after they've died. My brothers and sisters, I want to be such a person. I believe you want to be such a person. May God help us to be men and women of faith like Caleb. That God goes on doing things through us and for us and because of us. On into the future, years and years and years from now. But first, we've got to shape the immediate future, haven't we? We've got to be ready for those defining events in our lives, walking with God, allowing Him to speak to us, claiming His promises. We've got to be taking the mountains in the present by faith. And then by God's grace, we'll be like Caleb. Men and women who press on into old age, faithful to God. Taking mountain after mountain and seeing God use their lives to impact the future. It's about 3,400 years since Caleb took that mountain, and we're still talking about him today. He's still impacting our lives today. Isn't that something? God cares about individuals. God cares about you and me. He can use our lives as He used Caleb's. May God help us to be such people. Let's pray. Father, help us to reach out by faith, to take hold of your promises and purposes, to so walk with you by faith, that we become like Caleb, faithful into old age, men and women whose lives you use to bless others, even when we're gone. Help us, Lord. Help us to walk with you this week. Lord, perhaps for some here this week or this next month, we'll hold a defining moment of our lives. Help us to be ready for it. To be walking with you so that when it comes, we make our mark for you. We place ourselves in your hands, in Jesus' name. Amen.